For our scripture reading this morning, we turn in God's Word to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. The Word of God in Hebrews chapter 7. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham, and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. Here men that die receive tithes, but there he received them, of whom it is witness that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. Inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest, for those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, The Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's, for this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. We read the word of God that far this morning, and on the basis of that passage and many other passages of God's word, have the instruction of our Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 12. I'm going to read the whole of Lord's Day 12 again, but pay particular notice the aspects of this Lord's Day that refer to the priesthood. Lord's Day 12, why is he called Christ, that is, anointed? Because he is ordained of God the Father and anointed with the Holy Ghost to be our chief prophet and teacher, who has fully revealed to us the secret counsel and will of God concerning our redemption, and to be our only high priest, who by the one sacrifice of his body has redeemed us and makes continual intercession with the Father for us, and also to be our eternal King, who governs us by his word and spirit, and who defends and preserves us in the enjoyment of that salvation he has purchased for us. But why art thou called the Christian? Because I am a member of Christ by faith, and thus am partaker of his anointing, that so I may confess his name and present myself a living sacrifice of thankfulness to him, and also that with a free and good conscience I may fight against sin and Satan in this life, and afterwards reign with him eternally over all creatures. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we consider the important truth that as the anointed one, Christ is our only high priest. Think about the importance of the priesthood for God's people in the Old Testament. So important was the priesthood that the Holy Spirit devotes a considerable amount of space in the Word of God to the priesthood. One entire book of the Bible, the book of Leviticus, was addressed to the priests concerning their work among God's people and the responsibility of God's people toward the priesthood. In addition to that, there is this book, the book of Hebrews, which speaks of Christ as the fulfillment, but the fulfillment of the Old Testament priesthood. Priesthood was important for God's people who lived in the Old Testament. Their whole spiritual life, all of their religion and service to God centered around the tabernacle and the temple, all of the sacrifices that were offered, and the priesthood. And the important place of the priests in their life is also evident from the end of the Old Testament and the apostasy of God's people. We read of that especially in the minor prophets, how the priests led the way in sin. The priesthood apostatized, and then they led the whole nation of Israel then to apostatize as well. Such was the important place of the priesthood in the Old Testament. That teaches us about the importance of the priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ for the church today and the church of all ages. It's important for us that Jesus is not only prophet, but that he is also priest. There are many today who will say Jesus is prophet. He was one amongst a multitude of prophets that spoke the word of God. He had a cause that he believed in. He taught that to the people. He was even ready to die for the cause that he believed in. But he was only a prophet. Jesus was only a prophet like all the other prophets. Then he's not our Savior and we are without hope. It's important that Christ not only be our prophet, but that Christ also be our priest, the priest who sacrificed himself as a lamb as an atonement for our sins. Just as the priesthood was central for God's people in the Old Testament, so is the priesthood of Jesus Christ central, important for us today. The earthly priesthood is gone, but that's because it's been fulfilled in the coming of Jesus Christ. All of those Old Testament priests pointed ahead to the coming of the only high priest. Jesus Christ is our only high priest. Is central, is so important for our lives as Christians today. Call your attention to that aspect of Lord's Day 12 under the theme, I believe in Christ, the only high priest. Notice first of all, the priesthood of Israel. Secondly, the priesthood of Christ. And thirdly, the priesthood of Christians. The Old Testament, the life and the worship of God's people centered on the Old Testament priests from the line of Levi and the family of Aaron. When we think about the Old Testament priests, immediately we think about their work of sacrifice. And that work was an important part of their work. But that doesn't capture the heart and the essence of the calling of an Old Testament priest. The heart, the center of their work, most simply and basically, was to lead an unholy people into the presence of a holy God. Taking this sinful people and bringing them into the presence of the holy God to enjoy fellowship and communion with Him. God was pleased to dwell amongst Israel in fellowship with them. That was symbolized for them in the tabernacle and later the temple. This was God's house, His dwelling place, right in the middle of the camp of Israel, right in the middle of His people. God came down to dwell among them in fellowship. But the nation of Israel was an unholy people. A nation that sinned and rebelled against God. And their sins stood as a great barrier to their enjoying the fellowship and the communion of God. They could not in themselves enter into the presence of God. If they did so, they'd be consumed by God's holy wrath. And it's for that reason that although there was this house of God right in the middle of the camp, people of God could not enter into the inner sanctuaries of that house. They couldn't go into the holy place or the holy of holies without being destroyed. And that's where the priesthood came in. God ordained the priesthood to serve as a mediator between God and His people. And their work was to take this unholy people and to bring them into the presence of God, to lead them into the enjoyment of covenant fellowship and communion with God in His house. That was pictured even in the clothing that the high priest wore. As the high priest went about his work, he was clothed in special garments. One part of that was that on the shoulders of the priest were all kinds of special stones. And engraved into those stones on his shoulders were the names of all of the tribes of Israel. And the point was that the priest, as the mediator between God and His people, carried the burden of the people of God into the presence of the Lord in His house. And in addition to that, the priest also had a breastplate that rested right over his heart. And there too were 12 precious stones, and etched into those stones were the names of all of the tribes. Again, as a picture that the priest was carrying the people around, but now right over his heart, the people were always on his heart. He loved them, he cared for them, and he carried them into the presence of God. That shows that the character of an Old Testament priest was the character of mercy. The priest carried out his work with mercy for the suffering, miserable people of God. Hebrews 5, verse 2 says, "Of the Old Testament priests, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity." The essence of the priesthood was mercy toward a miserable people. In that light, we can understand the specific duties of the Old Testament priest. If his work most basically was to lead an unholy people into the presence of the holy God, then we can understand and appreciate his work, first of all, of sacrifice. The priest was called to sacrifice daily. Every morning and every evening, there would be a sacrifice for the whole people of God. Throughout the day, individuals could come to bring sacrifices. On the special feast days, additional sacrifices were offered. So that constantly, without any break, there were to be sacrifices offered to God. The stench of the burning flesh, the blood being spilled, and the sacrifices going up to God. What that showed is that the only way for this sinful people to have fellowship with God was through the shedding of blood and by sacrifice. When the child of God walked into the tabernacle, that's what he first saw. That's what dominated the altar of the burnt offering. And that showed to them the only way into God's house and God's fellowship is first through sacrifice and through the shedding of blood for their sins. In the second place, the work of the priesthood was to intercede for God's people. Having first sacrificed on the altar of burnt offering, then the priest would pray for God's people. He'd take some of the fire off of that altar. He'd go into the holy place, to the other altar, the altar of incense. And with that fire, he'd burn the incense, and the smoke would go up right before the veil as a picture of the prayers of God's people ascending up before the face of God. And the priest was to pray for God's people. He was to take the people into the presence of God and to bring their needs before God, to confess their sins, to plead for forgiveness, to plead for the grace to help in time of need. And then in the third place, the priest had the responsibility to bless God's people. First, the sacrifice is the only way for this unholy people to come into God's presence. Then standing in God's presence, bringing their needs before Him, and then having stood in God's presence, the priest would come out of the temple, he'd raise his hands over the people, and he'd bless them. "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee, give thee peace." Having stood in the presence of God, the priest then blessed the people with the blessings of God and of salvation. Before we go on, it's worth noting what Hebrews 7 teaches us about Christ being a priest after the order of Melchizedek. All that we've said so far applies generally to the priesthood in the Old Testament. Hebrews 7 identifies that Christ is specifically a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek lived at the same time as Abraham. His name means King of Righteousness, and he was the king of Salem, which would later become Jerusalem, and that name means King of Peace. In addition to being king, he was also the priest of the Most High God. Even though God promised now that he would continue his covenant in the line of Abraham and his family, there were still others, becoming less and less, but still others who knew about God, who loved God, who worshiped God. Melchizedek was one of them. Abraham met Melchizedek after the slaughter of the kings of the east. four kings of the east came and fought against Sodom and Gomorrah, and they took Lot and the people there into captivity. When Abraham hears about that, he arms all of his servants. He goes out and he fights and he slaughters those kings and he delivers Lot from them. When Abraham is returning, out comes to meet him Melchizedek. Melchizedek blesses Abraham, and Abraham gives a tithe of all the spoils that he'd taken in the battle to Melchizedek. The only time we read of Melchizedek in the history, the Bible makes a point of referring to Melchizedek, and Christ is coming from the order of that priesthood. That does not mean that the priests from the family of Levi and Aaron were not types of Christ. Christ did fulfill those types as well. They also, in their work, pointed to Christ. But Melchizedek was a special type. Special from the point of view of his holding two offices, king and priest. In Israel, no king could also function as priest, and no priest could function as the king. There were two separate offices. In Melchizedek, they were united, and in that way, points to Christ. In addition, Melchizedek points to Christ in a unique way because of what the Bible says about his lineage. Verse 3 of Hebrews 7, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. That does not mean that Melchizedek had no parents and that he lived forever. It only means that the Bible does not record those things. It does not record his lineage, his parents' names. It does not record the time of his birth, and it doesn't indicate to us the time of his death. He simply, as it were, comes onto the scene of history. He's mentioned that one time, and that's the only thing that we read of. The Holy Spirit takes that and applies that now to Jesus Christ as the everlasting high priest who holds an office that is without end, without beginning of days or end of life. But he is always and forever the only high priest of his people. And that way, Melchizedek was a unique type the Lord Jesus Christ as high priest. That leads us then to consider what is the character and the work of Christ as our only high priest. Mention the Old Testament priesthood of Levi and of Melchizedek, because understanding that, we can see how that's fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ functions as our high priest, and his fundamental work, to summarize all that he does as high priest, he takes an unholy people and brings us into the presence of the holy God. It's his work to cause us to enjoy the presence, the fellowship, and the covenant communion of our God. The will of God with regard to his elect church is that they enjoy his covenant fellowship and communion, that they're brought near to him, that they walk with him, that they talk with him. But in ourselves, we are an unholy people, and the sin of our first parents in the beginning and our own sins daily stand as a great barrier to that fellowship and communion with God. We cannot, in ourselves, in our sin, stand in God's presence and live. Be consumed in his holy wrath and judgment. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. We need Christ, the only high priest, who is our mediator, to stand between God and us and to take us and unholy church and lead us into the presence of the holy God. It's only through Christ and His work as high priest we are able to enjoy the covenant fellowship and friendship of our God. That idea comes out here in Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 19 says, "By the which we draw nigh unto God." And in verse 25, "Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him." That captures the heart of Christ's work as high priest. We're able to come into the presence of God, enjoy His fellowship only by Christ and through His work as our high priest. In that work, Christ shows Himself to be a merciful high priest. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 speaks of Him that way. "Wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." He is a merciful and a faithful high priest. As our high priest, Christ has pity upon us as we're sunk down deep into the muck and the mire, the pollution and the filth of our sins. He has compassion upon us in the misery of sin, and by His power, He lifts us up out of that misery. As high priest, Christ bears the burden of the church upon His shoulders, just as the Old Testament high priest carried those precious stones on his shoulders. And just as the Old Testament high priest carried the people of God over his heart, our high priest, in His mercy, carries us always on His heart. We're never apart from His thought, from His concern. But on His heart always is His mercy and His love for us as His people. And He carries us on His heart, in His love, always and in all of His work. He's a merciful and a faithful high priest to us. Understanding that, the essence and the heart of His work as high priest is to bring us into the presence of God, then we can understand also the specific work that He does as our high priest. His work as our high priest is, first of all, to sacrifice. So it's emphasized in our Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 31. "To be our only high priest, who by the one sacrifice of His body has redeemed us." And then we read of that also here in Hebrews 7, verse 27, "Who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for His own sins, and then for the people's, for this He did once when He offered up Himself." Christ not only was the high priest, but He was the Lamb that was sacrificed. Not only was He the sacrificer, He was also the sacrifice itself. He gave up His own life. He shed His blood on the altar of the cross in order to pay for our sins, to make full and complete atonement and redemption for His people. There could be that redemption only with death. Death as the punishment for sin. There could only be that atonement through the shedding of blood and the covering of our sins. He made that payment in full. So that sacrifice never has to be made again. In the Old Testament, those priests had to sacrifice over and over again, day after day, because the blood of animals could not cover the sins of God's people. They were only types pointing them to Christ. Christ offered the one sacrifice for sin forever by the sacrifice of Himself. He's made full and complete atonement for our sins. And it's only on that basis that we can come into the presence of the Holy God. It's only through His sacrifice that that great barrier of sin is removed and we are brought to covenant fellowship and communion with God, life with Him, life where we walk with Him and we talk with Him daily in the assurance of His love as a father towards His children. This is the greatest blessing that we can enjoy. This is the heart of our salvation. Christ is our high priest, paid for our sins, and brings an unholy people such as we are to the loving presence of our Heavenly Father. In second place, as our high priest, Christ intercedes for us. Again, question and answer 31. And makes continual intercession with the Father for us. And in Hebrews 7, verse 25, wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. To intercede is to take someone else's cause, to make that our own cause, and then to plead that cause. As our high priest, Christ does that. Christ has made our cause His cause, and He pleads that cause before the face of the triune God in heaven. On the basis of His one sacrifice on the cross, He intercedes for us, His people. He brings all of our cares, all of our needs to the ear of our Heavenly Father. And He continually is pleading the mercies of God to us and all the blessings of salvation on the basis of His sacrifice. And that too is a wonderful comfort for us to know that always we have a high priest in heaven who's interceding for us. In all of our life, in all of our struggles, and the times when we fall into sin, and the times where we're enduring great trials and afflictions, we have a Savior who's bringing our specific needs before the throne of grace, so that our needs perfectly are brought before God and are heard and answered. And that's a comfort to us in our prayers as well. That's the basis on which we can pray and speak to God. Knowing the perfect intercession of our High Priest Jesus Christ for us. Then in the third place, the work of Christ as our High Priest is to bless us. Having offered Himself as the one sacrifice for sin on the cross, interceding for us, continually before the throne of grace, Christ blesses us from heaven. He raises His hands perpetually over the church and blesses the Lord. Bless thee and keep thee. And from heaven, He bestows upon us all of the blessings of salvation that He earned by His cross. It includes the blessing of the forgiveness of our sins. That includes the blessing of our sanctification. Daily, from heaven, as high priest, Christ is sanctifying us, cleansing us from sin, making us holy as our God is holy, preparing us for our place in glory. It will be the final public revelation of Christ as high priest. When He comes again in glory, He raises our bodies and in sanctified, holy body and soul takes us to live in the presence of God forever, leads us into the house of God, His dwelling place with His people. We see Him face to face, where we walk and talk with Him forever in perfection. How blessed are we to be the people of God. How blessed are we to have Christ as our High Priest, bring us into fellowship and the communion of our God. How blessed are we to be anointed with the anointing of Jesus Christ, to be Christians. Because He is prophet, that means we are prophets. Now because He is priest, it means that we also are priests before Him. The Word of God addresses our identity as priests, first of all, in Exodus 19, verse 6. And He shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. In 1 Peter 2, verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. What that means fundamentally for us is that we can stand in the presence of God. We don't need any longer some special class of people, one separate tribe of the Church of Jesus Christ to be priests for us and to lead us into the presence of God. All of God's people are priests. By the death of Jesus Christ, the veil has been rent. The way is opened up to us into the most holy place so that we can stand before the holy God and we can speak to Him always. We can go before Him boldly. Hebrews 10, verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. We're a kingdom of priests, anointed with the Holy Spirit, able then to stand in God's presence, to enjoy now already fellowship and communion with God, to walk and talk with Him daily. That's true not only for the adult priests, it's true also for the children. Children, you are priests in the temple of God. You can stand before Him. You can bring your needs to Him at any time. When you've sinned as children, you can go before God in His presence and pray, Father, forgive me. And as priests, when you're facing some sorrow, some hurt, some fear, you can stand in the presence of God and you can make your needs known to Him. When, for example, you're laying in bed at night and you're scared, alone in bed, you can cry out to God, Father in heaven, keep me while I sleep till morning light. Father, remove my fears. Care for me. Let me sleep in peace. And as priests, be confident that your Father in heaven hears your prayers as children and answers them. Comfort for all of us, in especially the hard, difficult circumstances of this life. There are times when as children of God, we think our prayers don't feel as if they're getting any higher than the ceiling, that God isn't hearing and answering them. Or there are times where we're so low that we feel like we can't pray. But then we remember that we're priests. We can stand in the presence of God confident that He hears and He answers us, even if the only thing that we can say is, God, help me. We don't know what else to pray for. We're so low. We're struggling so much. That's all that we can say. God, help me. Be assured that our Father will hear us and through the intercession of Christ, give us what we stand in need of. We're priests, anointed with the Spirit of Christ, as priests able to stand always in the presence of God. Then as priests, we have not only a privilege, that privilege, but also a calling and a responsibility. Calling is, as priests, to show mercy to those who are suffering. You can apply that in many different ways, in the pity and the compassion that we have on others of God's people who are sunk low in suffering. But one application of that is our support as a congregation for the office of the deacon in the church. It's the office of the deacon that represents Christ as high priest, because it's the deacon that shows the mercy of Jesus Christ to those who are suffering, particularly those who are enduring the trial of poverty and want. We show ourselves to be priests, not by all carrying out the work of the deacons, but by supporting the office of the mercies of Christ in the church, by, as priests then, giving willingly, giving generously, giving even sacrificially for the causes of the kingdom, in particular the support of the poor and the needy. So that the deacons then, as representatives of Christ the high priest, show the mercy of Christ to his suffering children. Calling as priests is to intercede for others, to bring the needs of others before the throne of grace and prayer. It can be a temptation for us at times to think only of ourselves, to pray for our own needs, to pray for the needs of our immediate family, but perhaps at times to forget about the needs of others of God's people. But as priests, we have the responsibility to bring the needs of God's people to Him in prayer, to pray for the other members of our own congregation and their needs. Remember often our office bearers and the work that God has given them to do in our midst, to pray for the Church of Jesus Christ more broadly in the denomination, in our sister churches, and the Church of Jesus Christ Catholic. That's a calling that comes in a unique way to us as parents. As parents, we have a priestly duty in our home to pray for our children. As we see our own weaknesses, as we see the sins in our children, as we see the wicked world in which we live, more and more we realize this is a fundamental calling we have as parents. That we cry out to God to bless our children, to work in them by His Holy Spirit, to touch their hearts as only God can do. And then not only to pray for them, but to pray with them, to lead our children in prayer. In a special way, that calling comes to husbands and fathers, to be priests in the home, to lead our wives and to lead our children prayer to God, bringing their needs before His throne of grace. It's a responsibility that we have concerning even children of God who may irritate us or who may sin against us or show themselves in some way to be a sinful child of God. Too often our response to seeing the weaknesses, the shortcomings, and the sins in others is anger, impatience, gossiping about it to others. How could they have done that? Imagine how they could have fallen into that sin or how they've hurt me in this way. We don't pray for them. We see that in another child of God. Our response is not to be impatience or anger or simply gossiping about it or holding a grudge against them. We pray for them. We can make application here as well to the aged members of the church. be the case sometimes with elderly members of the church that they wonder, what is my place in the church? What way do I serve? Because they're not able to do the things that they once were able to do. One of the things that they can do, an important place of service in the Church of Christ, is as priests interceding for the needs of the other members of the church. Generally speaking, the aged and the retired have more time on their hands, time then that they can spend in devoted prayer to God for the other saints. Perhaps they take out the church directory, pray through the directory, each name, each family, each individual there, thinking of their needs, bringing their needs before God's throne in prayer. We have the calling as priests to intercede for others in prayer. And then also, as priests, we have the calling to sacrifice. Lord's Day 12 mentions that, answer 32, and present myself a living sacrifice of thankfulness to Him. Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. As priests, we have the calling daily to sacrifice self, to put to death our old man of sin, to deny ourselves, crucify the old man, and to live out of the new man. That's the sacrifice of thanksgiving that we offer to God, our whole life consecrated and devoted to Him in holiness. We have the calling to sacrifice things of this earthly life, time, energy, material goods, money, for the sake of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And we have the calling to sacrifice and bring the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to God always. In our public worship together, in all of our life, praise and thanks offered to God. Those sacrifices that we offer, they're not the same sacrifices Christ made. Christ's sacrifice is the one sacrifice for sin. These sacrifices that we make in no way are made to atone or to earn some part of our salvation. Christ has done all of that by His one sacrifice on the cross. Sacrifices we offer are sacrifices of thanksgiving. Our life lived to God out of thanksgiving for what Christ has done. The giving of time and money for the sake of others, offered in thanksgiving for what Christ has done for us. Praise and thanks to God because of what Christ has done for us. We have the greatest motivation. Think of what Christ has done for us. The sacrifice He's made for us on the cross. His death so that we can have life. His blood shed to cover our many sins against God. Sacrifice so that we, now and forever, can dwell in the presence of God. Thanksgiving for the priesthood of Jesus Christ. Live as anointed priests in the service of God in all our lives. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word to us this morning. Pray that Thou wilt give to us a good understanding of that, so that in our minds we can understand and discern. Pray also, Father, that Thou wilt apply it to our hearts so that we rejoice in it, we're thankful for it, and we live out of that gratitude in all of our life. Forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.